Please stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. It's Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. The word of God. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it's something that never really has made sense to me. But then, well, I have to admit I'm an overthinker. And sometimes we overthinkers, we see things and notice, and other people don't even care. But in my defense, sometimes what I overthink really is important. Sometimes in overthinking, you can come up with a new conclusion about an old story or come up with a new solution. Today's gospel story. The original hearers of it, they would have been totally shocked. And some of them probably would have been just a little bit angry at what they heard. You see, shepherds weren't exactly the people one would think about sending the angels to announce to the world that the Messiah had been born. Shepherds, well, let's just say they weren't held in high esteem. They were never considered to be credible witnesses, and they were never, ever allowed to be witnesses in a court of law. Never. So to use them as the first witnesses of the Messiah's birth? I mean, come on. It was unthinkable. Who would believe what they said? Nobody. But what doesn't make sense to me is all this animosity towards shepherds. I mean, yes, they were uneducated. And yes, they spent all their time in the wilderness, so they were probably just a little uncouth and, let's just say, unkempt, okay? But without them, the entire economy would have collapsed. They were the important spoke in the wheel. Sheep were a vital source of both food and clothing. They were also an absolute necessity for the sacrifices that occurred in the temple. Good shepherds not only kept the sheep safe from a multitude of dangers, including predators and thieves. They were skilled at keeping certain sheep ritually pure. Now, that means the sheep could have absolutely no blemish. They could have nothing wrong with them. They could not so much as have a burr in their wool. They had to be perfect. And a good shepherd knew how to keep certain sheep perfect. And in doing so, those particular sheep could be sold at even a higher price to the temple. A good shepherd, they were able to make the owner of the flock quite wealthy. Yet they were held in low esteem. They were avoided by the community at large. Does it make sense? And you know what makes even less sense? At least for we overthinkers. It's the fact that the most revered people in Israelite history were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all shepherds. And what was Moses doing when he heard God calling from the burning bush? Anybody? Being a shepherd. He was being a shepherd. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And what about David? David is still considered to be one of the greatest kings that ever lived. And what was he before he became a king? A shepherd. But shepherds weren't appreciated. Shepherds were avoided. It didn't make sense to me until I reread Rachel Bullop's book, An Unlikely Advent. She was listing some of the attributes of a good shepherd. And she mentioned that they were observant people. And as I thought about it, it finally occurred to me that some of the people who make us the most uncomfortable are those who are extremely observant. They see things that the rest of us don't. They're the ones who tend to stop and look when we hurry on. And as a result, extremely observant people have a lot more information than what we do. They have insights that tend to make them very analytical and proactive. So in the midst of a crisis, they tend to react in place of act. That in place of reacting, they act. In place of wasting time, they know what to do because they have been observing what is going on around them. And we admire them for this. But have you ever noticed a curious thing about we people? The ones that we admire, we also resent. They have what we don't have, and they can do what we don't do. And so while we may wish we could be like them, when push comes to shove, we lash out at them. We criticize them. We judge them. On the night that Jesus was born, the streets of Bethlehem were filled with people who had been praying for God's Messiah. It was a promise that had been made to them clear back in the days of Isaiah and before. They wanted a sign from God, They wanted to know that God was with them, that God hadn't forgotten the promise that somehow or the other the Messiah would finally come and save them from all the distress they were under. They wanted to know that God still cared for them. That God was willing to intervene for them. And yet when God did act, when the promise was fulfilled, all those people, they missed it. Now, I'm sorry. I can't help but think that if the people on the streets that night would have at least looked up, they would have seen the glow in the sky. I mean, how would you hide something as magnificent as that? God wasn't into playing hide and seek. Those angels that came to the shepherds, they had to have been recognizable if people had looked up. And if people had stood there and listened, maybe they would have heard it, at least a little bit of that angel song. I mean, the miracle was there, right in front of them. But in all the busyness and distraction, they missed it. As for the shepherds, they were facing the same problems and distractions as everybody else were down in those streets. They even had their own list of problems. And yet, the very nature of their job had taught them not to be distracted. They had to remain alert to what was going on around them. The safety of their flock and even their own lives depended upon it. They had to be prepared to act. They had to be willing to listen. In other words, they were always looking for signs. Signs not only of trouble, but of miracles and blessings. So on the night that Jesus was born, it was the shepherds who saw the angels. It was the shepherds who heard their song. It was the shepherds who acted on what they were told. The religious elite didn't. The moderately faithful didn't. The sages, the prophets, the teachers, the rabbis. None of them acted. But the shepherds did. So why did God choose the shepherds to be the first ones to see this thing that had come to pass? Why were they the ones who were entrusted to tell others? Well, could it be that what God needed at that moment was not the learned few, but those who knew how to slow down and listen? Those who would respond and follow through without having to clear their calendars and explore their options and develop an action plan with measurable results. Okay. Maybe that's my 21st century cynicism showing through. But the fact remains, Bethlehem was filled with people longing to experience the Holy. They wanted some healing. Something that would transform not only themselves, but the world too. And friends, those are the identical things we in the 21st century are longing for. But like those who filled the streets that night so long ago, we've developed habits and formed ideas that actually shield us from the very thing we're longing for. I mean, We want to have an encounter with the Messiah, an encounter with the living Lord. But how many of us can honestly say that has ever happened in our lives? Well, Christians, the simple truth is that the very thing we're longing for is already here. You see, there's an element of the divine in every moment, in every encounter of the day. All we have to do is open our lives to the possibility. God is all around us, and we can feel him. We can have that encounter. But we have to be willing to simply sit and listen, to look around and wonder. We have to learn to become curious seekers rather than sarcastic critics. You see, God doesn't act in the expected ways through the expected people. If we know anything from the Christmas story, we know that God acts through the least likely of us, a young girl who believed in a promise, an old woman who remained open to new possibilities, a group of outcasts and misfits who wanted nothing more than to listen, and yes, even a band of foreigners who believed in the signs and the wonders that they saw. One of my favorite theologians is a woman named Barbara Brown Taylor. And she once wrote, "Earth is so thick with divine possibilities that it is a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on an altar." In other words, the holy is all around us. It's among us. All we have to do is pause, listen, believe, and follow. Earth is so thick with divine possibilities. It's a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on an altar. Wow. Do you want that encounter? Do you want to see the living Lord, the Messiah who dwells among us? Well, are you ready for some bruised ankles? Let's go. Bethlehem awaits. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen.